Boker Tov, Rabbi Galperi.
Good morning, Ilan. How are you?
Good, I'm good. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, thank God. Everything is perfect.
That's good. Parashat Kitisa.
Parashat Kitisa is a very interesting parasha. You know, it talks about the people of Israel are told, each one of them has to contribute exactly a half a shekel of silver to the Beit HaMikdash. Obviously, because you know, it was going to be, the Jews were going to be counted. Also, every single person had to give a half a shekel. No one can give more, no one can give less, to show that everyone is equal. We also see that it's brought down further in this week's Torah portion, when Moses does not return, when he's expected to come down from Mount Sinai, the people make a golden calf and worship it. And obviously God proposes to destroy the nation. And while Moses is coming down, he sees what's going on and he drops the tablets and he breaks them. He smashes them based on, you know, seeing what the golden calf was. And he then returns to God and says, if you do not forgive them, the Jews, as we talked about it in previous parashas, you got to erase me from your book. And God forgives him. And obviously Moses then has to go and prepare a new set of tablets. And then, you know, he ascends on the mountain where God re-inscribes the covenant on these second tablets. And then Moses obviously then comes and down to the Jewish people and he speaks with them. Now, you find a lot of people that say, you know, it's too late, I'm too far gone, I'll never ever be the same. And we hear these words 20 times, and sometimes even worse, we say them ourselves. And you go and look in this week's Torah portion, which we just talked about, that discussed the golden calf, the worst national sin in the history of the Jewish people. And if you would ask me, if I would be writing the Torah, I would have left this part out. Why would I want to bring this greatest sin written in the Torah?
Yeah,
it's humiliating to the Jews. And you know, if you think about it, just weeks after the greatest revelation of all time, when they saw, they heard God, and they heard Him in person, what are they going to do? They go down. They go and bow down to a cow. How worse can you get? But the Torah is unflinchingly honest, and he records the most, you know, unflattering moment of our history in all of its glory and all of its detail. And the question is why? Why would the Torah want to be able to bring out such a humiliating aspect that happened to the Jews? The biggest sin that we did, what is there? There must be some reason why the Torah, why it's necessary to bring that down. And perhaps, you know, the very important lessons, I think that we can draw from this embarrassing episode is, firstly, that people do sin. Human beings, who we all are, do make mistakes.
Yeah.
And even inspired Jews who were waiting at Mount Sinai, saw the divine with their own eyes, they're able to mess up. And not only mess up, but mess up badly. And secondly, even afterwards, there is still hope. No matter what, there's always still hope. Because we see what happened. They got a second set of tablets. And in the very same parsha, in this week's Torah portion, we read how God tells Moses to carve a second set of tablets to replace the first set that he smashed when he came down to the mountain. And he was shocked at what the Jews were up to. It's a sort of, you know, this reminds me of, you know, the concept of you broke them, you fixed them. It's like this small little joke of a guy who fell asleep during the rabbi's sermon. And the rabbi tells the shamash, you know, the person in charge, the gabbai, to go and wake that person up. And the shamash tells the rabbi, he says, "Rabbi, if you put him to sleep, you wake him up." So, the same concept. You broke them, you fix them. So the Torah does not intend, you know, to diminish our respect for that generation, that they were the biggest sinners, but rather to help us understand human frailty, our moral weakness, and possibly even, I think we could even take it as a step further, the reality of relationships, spiritual or even in physical relationships. God gave us, if you think about it, a perfect Torah. The tablets were handmade by God, pure, sacred. And then what happened? We messed up. So it's all over. So you might think of the question, is there really no hope now?
Yeah.
Are we beyond redemption? After all, what could possibly be worse than idolatry? We broke the first two commandments. The tablets were shattered into smithereens because we were no longer obviously worthy of getting them. So it was all the ultimate infidelity. I mean, what else can we do? That's where we might think we were astray, that we have no second chance, no redemption, no way of clearing up our mess up. So the Torah teaches us, no, that all is not lost. As bad as it was, and it was bad from, you know, when you read the Torah, it is possible for man to repair the damage. How? Moses will make new tablets. They won't be quite the same as God's, but they will be tablets nonetheless. We are able to pick up the pieces. And I think that's a very, very important lesson, that there is never something that can't be fixed, something that can't have this redemption.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing once another rabbi, he was speaking about the significance of breaking the glass under the chuppah, under the wedding canopy. And you know, obviously there's the main reason that never forgetting Jerusalem and praying for a full restoration.
Yeah.
This ceremony also teaches a very important lesson about life to a bride and groom that are just about to embark on their new path in life. That what happens, immediately after the groom breaks the glass, everyone shouts, Mazal Tov.
Mazal Tov, yeah.
Mazal Tov, everyone's happy. The message is clear. If you think about it, something broke. No, it's not the end of the world.
No.
We can even laugh about it. And when we're so happy, we're singing in Mazal Tov, as they say in Yiddish, Nishke Perah, Lo Nora, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
It's going to pass.
And they also say, I think, that when something broke, it's a sign for a renewal, for something new that is great.
Yeah. Right. I remember a side note, I tell it as a joke sometimes by a chuppah, someone asks, you know, why do we break the glass? You know, and the chatan, the groom, he puts his foot down, he smashes the glass. And the real reason is that that's the last time the man ever puts down his foot in the house, you know.
I didn't think about that one.
So, it's very, very practical peacekeeping tip for new couple. You know that, you get on with life, yes, there's going to be challenges, yes, we're going to mess up, yes, we're going to not do always the right thing, but lo nora, it's going to pass.
Yeah.
We're going to be able to get over it. And there is most definitely second chances in life. You know, we have Pesach Sheni, the second Pesach, because when the Jews weren't able to come to the first Pesach, they were living too far to bring the sacrifices in the Beit HaMikdash and so on. God gave them a second chance. And I remember I was once in a shul, and I saw a slogan that said CAJE, the College of Adult Jewish Education. And the line that they would use, the logo was, your second chance to know. And I asked them, I said, what is this? What is this CAJE? They told me that you know, people have second chances, third chances also. And you find many Hebrew school dropouts have passed through classes, and now, you know, they've come through these programs and they've seen that there's second chances, they're able to read Hebrew from scratch, and then a lot of them even go on to even lead the services and lead the programs, because there is this concept that I so firmly believe is possible to pick up the pieces in a person's life, whether it's in our relationship with God, with our marriage partners, our kids, our colleagues. We can always amend and repair the damage. And if the Jews, I think, can recover from the golden calf, the biggest sin in history, our own challenges are small indeed. For us, obviously, they're big challenges, but we have those remedies. We are able to fix them. We are able to conquer them. And that is why the Torah writes in length, and doesn't leave out any parts or anything in regards with the golden calf, to teach us that important lesson, which I think is so important in our lives, in our kids' lives, and how we act with our wives, or our spouses, or our partners, whatever it may be, is that there's always a second chance. We can always find the remedy. We can always fix it. And that's what I think was very important learning from this week's Torah portion.
Okay. Very interesting.
Yeah. So that's, you know, in these Torah portions, you've got to try and find things that are, that we can find to our lives, because they're not stories, generally, in the Exodus, the last bunch of portions of those commandments, and about the building of the Holy Temple, and this and that. So we've got to try and figure out, in every piece of Torah, there's very important lying lessons, meanings and everything, sure, that we can apply to our lives. So I thought when I was reading this, I was like, this is beautiful. So.
And that's why I'm so lucky to have you, because you bring all those meanings from between the lines and the words.
Thank you. But that gives me the chance to be able to sit down, you know, and forget about everything that's going on, and, you know, and try and learn something. So it's, I appreciate it too. So it's a two-way street. So it's beautiful.
That's great. And you want to tell us about the services in Shari Tzedek?
Sure. We have services now at 6 o'clock with Mincha and Ma'ariv on Friday evening, afternoon and evening service, and then Shabbat morning is 9 o'clock. And as time is getting closer, you know, we have a little bit over a month till Purim, and, you know, Purim is a beautiful holiday, as we will talk closer to the time, the significance of Purim, and the customs of Purim, and the story of Purim, and lessons we can learn out of Purim. But, you know, Purim falls out this year on Saturday night and Sunday. Saturday night we're going to have the Megillah reading, and there's going to be a party also, as Shari Tzedek, at 9 o'clock in the evening. It's a little bit later now, because Shabbat doesn't come out till 8:30, because we're in a leap year, so it's a lot later.
Yeah.
And then that following, so that Sunday, March 20th, we're going to be having our big Purim party. You know, the whole community is involved
invited.
In it, so the whole community is invited, and it's open to the whole community. It's at the JCC, March 20th, 3:30, whoever's not able to get to hear Megillah in any place, we're going to read the Megillah there with a slideshow of pictures and the whole animated story for kids while the Megillah is being read on a projector. And then at 4 o'clock we're going to be having the Purim party, which is this year's theme is Purim in China. We're going to have a beautiful entertainer. It's going to be old Chinese food and Chinese decor, so everyone's invited to come. It's RSVPs is good, so we have a number, and it will definitely be a treat for everyone. So the whole community is invited.
That's great.
So,
Rabbi, I wanted to thank you for the parasha and for telling us about Purim and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, and God willing, we will speak next week.
Yeah, God willing.
Be well.
Be well.